A Gift for Catherine by Ann Peterson Krieger, based on an experience from the author's life. To him that is afflicted, pity should be shewed from his friend. Job 6:14. I don't know what it was about Catherine. No one really disliked her, but no one liked her either. She sat quietly at her desk and did her schoolwork. She always got the highest score, but no one competed with her. It was like she wasn't even part of the class, or the world for that matter. When the bell rang for recess, most of us bolted for the door, nearly knocking the books from our desks. Not Catherine. She sat still until everyone was out of the door, and then she walked slowly behind. I remember one day Mr. Eckert, our fifth-grade teacher, called to her from the pitching mound. "Come on, Catherine, come play." I heard the boys moan, and I guess she heard them, too. She shook her head and wrapped her legs around the legs of the bench. She'd played kickball with us before. Whenever anyone pitched the ball, she held out her hands and muttered, "Slow, no bounces." No matter how fast or bouncy the boys pitched, she'd run toward the red rubber ball, swing her leg, and kick as hard as she could. She always missed. We'd groan, and large red splotches would burn her cheeks. One day, in the middle of the year, Mr. Eckert called roll like he always did. "Catherine?" "Oh, that's right." He paused and marked something in his book. Then, with a serious expression, he looked up from his roll and said, "Class, do you know where Catherine is?" No one answered. "Does anyone know where she's been for the past week?" I shrugged my shoulders and glanced at the other kids, who also seemed unconcerned. Mr. Eckert sighed. "She's quite sick." He peered at us over his wire-rimmed glasses. "I wonder if there is something any of you can do for her." I watched everyone slouch down in their seats, like I did. I thought if I shrunk somehow, maybe I wouldn't feel so guilty. "Where has she been?" I wondered. "The hospital?" I felt ashamed that I hadn't even noticed she was gone. That day, as I rode the bus home, I didn't talk to my friends or even argue with the boy kicking the back of my seat. I stared out the window and thought about Catherine. I didn't know why she was so different. I didn't even know why exactly no one talked to her. She was smart and nice, but she wasn't pretty, and she wasn't funny. She never laughed at any jokes. She wasn't good at any sports, but she wasn't mean either. I thought about Catherine for a long time. When I tried to put her out of my mind, I kept seeing her face. Maybe I should do something for her, I thought. That afternoon, my friend Cammie and I rode our bikes to the store. As I gazed into the glass-covered candy counter, I saw a box of bracelets I'd never noticed before. "Look at those!" I nudged Cammie with my elbow. She shrugged, but I felt warm inside, and I knew I needed to buy one of those bracelets for Catherine. I counted the change in my pocket. I had exactly enough for the bracelet and a few pieces of candy. I plunked my money down on the counter, and the clerk put the bracelet and candy into a paper bag for me. On the way home, I didn't eat a single piece of candy, and when Cammie asked for one, I said no. It felt strange buying a present for someone I hardly knew. All evening, I kept looking at the paper bag until finally I went to the closet and found a box to wrap it in. The next day, I felt like butterflies were flying around the back of my throat. I could hardly speak to anyone. When the 3 o'clock bell rang, I threw my backpack on my shoulder and walked down the street, past the buses. I followed the map my mom had drawn for me until I arrived at the right house. I swallowed and walked up the stairs to the front door. "Hello," an older woman said, opening the door. "Is Catherine here?" I held the package behind my back. The woman stared at me in surprise. She pulled the door open and motioned for me to come in, not saying a word. I don't remember what her house looked like or any other details. I only remember the stunned look in Catherine's eyes as I walked through her bedroom door. "Hi," I said, pulling the package from behind my back. I handed it to her. She took it but didn't say anything. She opened the card I had written and then ripped a little hole in the package. I felt uncomfortable watching her open it like I was intruding. She pulled the bracelet out and held it up to the lamp. Then she popped a piece of candy into her mouth. "Thank you." I stepped back and said, "I hope you feel better soon. See you at school." Nervously, I tripped out of her bedroom and left. As I walked back to school, my throat felt swollen. I thought about Catherine and about the look on her mother's face when I came to the door. I don't think anyone had ever gone to her house before. I stood on the steps in front of the school and watched the late bus come around the corner. I did not know why I kept thinking about Catherine. I didn't even know if she would want to be my friend when she came back to school. I didn't know what to think. Suddenly, I imagined a smile spread across Catherine's face. Goosebumps popped out all over my skin, and I felt warm inside. I hoped I could become Catherine's friend when she came back to school, and I hoped maybe others would reach out to her, too. But no matter what happened, I knew I had done the right thing, and I knew Heavenly Father knew it. He had helped me help Catherine, and I would never regret it. Note: Ann Peterson Krieger is a member of the East Cleveland Branch, Kirtland, Ohio Stake. End note. Sidebar: Kindness overcomes the rudeness of selfish intent. Each of us can develop kindness at home, at school, at work, or at play. Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. These were our examples. Ensign, November 1991. Page 61. End of sidebar. End of the story by Ann Peterson Krieger, A Gift for Catherine.